Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Tonight's stories.
Skipping birthday.
Butter.
Doctor.
Cutting off contact. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Comfort Level Podcast. I'm Maddie, and I'm here with
Sam,
Brandon,
SJ.
Oh, she's
Fuck ass me up.
We're back. Back and better than ever.
We're back here.
We're still in this place.
Yeah, I think we're going to be here for the next 3 months.
Oh my God.
3 months.
Wait, we need to talk about something.
Oh, God.
So Sam admitted, we have it on camera. Let's pull it up. Well, oh, Sam admitted in the last episode with Steph.
Was it recording when I said that?
Yeah.
You told her that.
No, I don't. I think you told her that, but I nodded. But it was like hurt people. And we said that it was from Shrek. 2 seconds later, I swear to you, I was like, Sadia is a joke.
But her face dropped.
Her face dropped.
Well, here's the real thing. I'm the one who said it, but
and she's
but she
mad
locked
at me.
On the Maddie and said it. I was like.
He said, and he admitted, he was like, it's kind of funny because Sadia gave you all the flack for making that joke about how hurt people is from Shrek. And he was like, because I said it, but she was so focused on you.
But she focused on Maddie really hard.
Sam said that, and I was like, okay, that's what I thought. I was like, he said that, right? I just nodded, right? And you put that all on me. I was like, Sam said that.
Sam, you offloaded that all on Maddie?
You just stayed quiet.
Because I saw the full wrath that you were like releasing on her. I'm like, I ain't getting into that. So I stepped back.
You truly did just sit there.
Yeah. I jumped onto Maddie because Aubrey started saying something. I started agreeing with her. I'm like, yeah, why would she say that?
He was gassing me up against you.
And he literally admitted it last episode again.
And this is the third time he's doing it within 3 days.
Well, here's what I'm saying. In the terms of lying of people who like tell fibs, a little couple fibs there. I'm the shadiest in this house, of course.
And you're proud
Maddie's
of it.
Not that far above me, though. I think Maddie's pretty. Okay. I think Maddie's towards
when it comes
the bottom
to shady
in the fibbing Olympics. I think
fibbing
Maddie
Olympics.
Is like she's a silver
she's
medal.
Not, I don't
she's
think
not a
so.
Shame.
She's the in this house. She's a silver medal.
I'm not silver. Because I'm taking myself off.
Oh my God!
I feel like for the most part,
I can't even believe. I'm like,
for the most part, I feel like. I goof, I gaff, but it's pretty obvious. You see the smirk on my face when I'm laughing?
No, Maddie, no, it's
no,
not.
Exactly.
Actually, sorry, sorry. This is actually a sore spot for me.
Oh, no.
Maddie, I didn't think, I was like, oh yeah, Maddie's definitely not silver. But now that I think about it, there might be some validity in what Sam is saying.
You know what? I think I'm just going to go. I'm just going to cut off contact. I like this first story.
Yeah.
Okay, so this first one is from r/comfortlevelpod.
Again?
Oh.
What?
Don't say it like that. We love the Comfort Level Pod.
No, I was just saying like...
Oh, you were happy about it.
Yeah, it's been so sparse.
Yeah, Brandon. Your voice didn't say that.
I was happy. Okay.
Okay, let's reset.
All right.
I feel like there's a lot of animosity.
That's what I was just thinking.
There's a lot of animosity. Let's reset.
It's like hurt people hurt people.
Hurt people do hurt people.
Like, and like people like feel hurt.
Yeah, that's timeless.
Like I feel hurt. I feel like Brandon feels a little hurt. I feel like Sadia and Sam are just attacking.
Now I feel hurt by you saying that.
How did we become the predators?
Yeah, now like, I feel hurt because you're
attacking. But I really do feel like we should reset. Because okay, it's reset, like it's reset. Like thick. I was like.
Yeah, okay. Let's reset.
I am a jarred.
No, we like genuinely love each other, so that's good.
Am I the asshole for cutting off contact with my mom and sister after not being invited to the family reunion?
At the family reunion,
who we introducing?
My 30 female sister, 33 female, has always been awful to me. For background, as kids, she would bully me, making comments about what I look like or wore. And as an adolescent, she made a lot of comments about my body that ultimately led to me having an eating disorder as a teen.
Oh, wow.
I've since recovered, but it was very damaging. When I was in my 20s, my sister would only speak to me if she needed money and would give me the cold shoulder when I had to stop sending her money. Because I had a baby and recently purchased a home and couldn't afford to anymore. Years later, she refused to sit with me at my mother 64 female's wedding and was very critical of me to the point where I decided to stop speaking to her for a year. We talk now, but overall, our relationship has been strained because of this. I'll forgive her for something she says or does. She's nice for a while and then returns to doing something else pretty awful. My mom has always been very hands-off and a neglectful parent, even as kids. She'll talk to you if you call her or text her, but she doesn't go out of her way to connect or do much parenting, and it's kind of always been like that. This leads me to my current situation. I live a few states away attending a master's program, but I'm currently on a 2-month break from my school from June to the end of August. My mom and sister are both aware of this break. It's important to note that my mom and I will talk at least 3 to 4 days a week, and my sister and I will talk at least 2 to 3 times a month. One day I received a text from my mom at 3 a.m. saying that she was about to board a plane to visit my aunt, her sister, who lives a few states away. This was surprising because they haven't really spoken much in about 20 years, and my mom doesn't enjoy flying. When she landed, I asked what was going on, and she said that my sister planned a family reunion. I was confused and I texted my aunt. She wasn't aware anyone was coming over besides my sister, but asked me to video chat with her the next day. On video chat, to my surprise, my aunt, her life partner, and my grandfather, all of whom I haven't seen in person since I was 2 or 3 years old, my mom, my sister, her girlfriend, and my sister's 3 kids were all present. My aunt said my sister planned a family reunion and asked why I wasn't there. I told her that no one told me about it despite knowing I was on summer break. Seeing everyone together and being completely left out was really hurtful, and I knew I wasn't told because of my sister planned it, but I was just as upset at my mom because she knew about it and didn't say anything. I reflected on my feelings about this for a week or two and decided to communicate how I felt to both my mom and my sister in a text. I told them I was hurt that they left me out of it, and it made me feel like I wasn't a part of their family. All my sister said was that she didn't purposely not invite me, but due to our history, I found this unlikely, and she didn't think it was a big deal. That if I wanted to talk later that day about it over the phone, she'd call me. However, my mom's response made the whole situation worse because she said they planned this event in February, that she'd been really stressed about the whole thing. How should she know my sister wouldn't tell me? And that it's not her place to tell me what my sister is planning. I was shocked. They both have had so many opportunities to mention this to me. and neither of them were taking the accountability for not communicating. I didn't respond to either of them for a week. My mom texted and said she cares about me and doesn't want our relationship ruined by lack of communication. My sister hasn't texted me since her original message, and I don't expect her to. I told my mom that I'm considering if I should continue to try to be in contact with either of them any longer because they didn't even consider one time in 5 months that I should be included in this family reunion, and they both have history of treating me like I'm an outcast. She denied what I said, reiterating that my sister should have mentioned it to me and it wasn't her responsibility. She also said she does her best to talk to me when she can, despite not working for the last 10 years and spending most of her time at home alone and being emotionally supportive. I didn't answer because it just seemed like an unproductive conversation. So am I the asshole for wanting to cut off contact with them? I understand my sister is most at fault, but they both had equal opportunities to mention it. What advice do you have to navigate this situation?
Ooh, that's kind of tough.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Therapy. But do also no contact. Because it seems like your relationship with your sister is...
toxic.
It's really toxic. And it's just causing you pain. You don't have to stick around just because you're related.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's that bad, just... you got to get out of there. But I definitely think counseling, because... you need to navigate that relationship with someone.
Yeah, I think so too. Oh, top comment. Get grief counseling. The family you thought you had never existed. Create an email to your extended family with all of your contact information and also let them know that your mom and sister did not invite you to the reunion and it hurt you to not see them. Tell them life is short and please keep in contact with you because your mom and sister will not pass on invitations or information. And then OP responded, I am in therapy and my therapist said something similar. I was really upset about the situation and he said it was because I'm essentially grieving a loss. It's frustrating because years of staying in contact with them has only led to more and more disappointment, especially with my sister. My family all lives in different states, but I think you made a good point about explaining to other members of the family why I'm deciding to do this. So maybe it sounds like she might be leaning towards it.
Yeah.
I'm feeling a little, I think she should do whatever is best for her, but I'm feeling a little conflicted towards the mom. But I don't know if maybe the mom's an enabler, so it makes sense of why she would cut her off too. Because it's like, how much of an excuse can you use of like, oh, well, your sister didn't tell you and I didn't want to do that. Between like, I feel like usually parents don't want to pick between their kids. So they're like, they don't want to be put in the position that they're in. So, I don't know. It just seems like she's kind of like shifting the blame off of herself when she should have been like maybe telling the sister in the first place, hey, don't put me in this position. You either tell her or I'm going to tell her. Because why would I not? Why should she not be there and you're there?
Right.
Like, you need to consider your sister.
Right.
And, yeah, sister sounds horrible. I'm sorry for everything that OP had to go through because I definitely agree with Sam. It sounds like the more you reach out, the more they hurt you, you know? And you can try, you know, you've been trying for years, trying to be what they say, which is, you know, you should never give up on family. And I feel like it's kind of proving a point that there's some family where you're like, yep, yeah, I'm going to like go back into my shell so I can protect myself from you. I'm going to set boundaries with you. Or like she said, I'm going no contact. There's no reason for me to talk to you anymore because you just keep hurting me. You don't literally you don't benefit me at all. I benefit you and you just hurt me. So
I think in this situation, I think the mom definitely should have said something only because the sister not inviting her. I think that's being like, you're being intentional in doing that. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm planning a family reunion, I'm not going to like forget to include my literal sister. Mm-hmm. I'm going to forget about my sister, but I'm going to remember like, all of the extended family that I have. Like nobody does that. And I think as a parent, like, why can't you be like, hey, your literal there's a way to be cordial. You guys, like, I understand not having a sibling that you're like on the bestest of terms with, but even in that, there's a way to be cordial and there's a way to conduct yourself in events like this where, you know, the whole family is around.
Yeah.
So I get going no contact where you're just like, at that point, there is no point. Like, there is no point. I'm reaching out. I'm doing everything I can. And you guys are just, my sister specifically, you're being an asshole all, mm-hmm. like constantly, and you don't want to accept really any olive branch that I'm handing out to you, right. and trying to talk to you and still trying to have a relationship. So
yeah, I definitely feel like the mom is enabling that behavior too, because like what you're saying, you even if you're making the party stuff, all that, you're, it's hard to forget your sister. But at the same, on the same point, it's hard for the mom not to say something about it too. She was had equal opportunity. They said they planned it in February. Hey, I noticed your sister's not here. It's not that hard to point that out. Oh. But yeah.
You work hard for your money.
Real hard.
So, so hard for your money. You're working hard for your money, but you never get it right.
You know what? Your voice sounds better smooth. Like this next story. Bah, bah,
bah. All right.
Hey.
So.
Stop that.
I can't.
Stop that over there.
So this next one is, am I the asshole for being culturally insensitive about butter?
What? Culturally insensitive?
Culturally insensitive about butter.
There's something with everything, am I right?
Kids nowadays are finding everything to be upset about.
This new Gen Alpha, I can't get with them this now.
This new Gen B.
They're on Gen B?
Just like the babies. Yeah. They're finding something.
They're like, cancel him.
Am I the asshole for being culturally insensitive about butter? I was at my boyfriend's family's home. I'm a nurse. My son burnt himself on the grill by smacking his forehead into it while playing. He had a little burn. I went to the bathroom to clean it up and put some cold water on it. My boyfriend's great-grandmother is here. There might be some cultural differences between them because they are Latina, but she insists on putting butter on my kid's burn. I said no, and his mom came to talk to say that I should just do it because it's disrespectful to his great-grandmother not to take her advice. She's almost 100. I told his mother it's disrespectful of them not to listen to me about treating my own child, and I'm a nurse, so I'm not putting butter on a small burn. The women in his family tried to bully me again about the butter, and I finally got mad and said, butter is for cooking. Why would I want it on a burn? I saw his mom try to put it on my kid, and I said, no fucking butter. I took my kid and left. My boyfriend said I'm not to treat his family like that, and I should have just let them do it. In his culture, elders are important. I said in my cultures, my boundaries and health are more important than your grandma's ego. We haven't talked since, and my friend said I was being insensitive to my boyfriend and his family. Edit, my boyfriend is not the father of my son. I'm divorced. Am I the asshole?
And the boyfriend's not the father.
Nope.
Okay, you have no jurisdiction here.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have any jurisdiction.
Yeah.
I mean, if it would be different if they shared the child, but they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sorry, not sorry, not sorry. Like,
it's ice.
It's ice.
Okay.
It's ice.
I was like, it's either ice or the steps. Those steps are
somebody's falling down those steps.
Yeah, I think that's crazy. No way.
Mm-hmm. Not no your way. Kid. No, no say.
No say. You have no say.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to tell me?
Right.
Are you even the dad that stepped up? I don't know.
You're the dad that should step down from whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
Especially from the butter scenario. I'm
trying to base my kid.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy work.
I think it's okay for the mom, for the grandma to be like, hey, this is my, like, this is what I was going to do. This is my suggestion. But the moment the mom says no, like, just let it be. I think her calling out that it was probably most likely the ego is probably true, where it was like, no, you don't say no. I know best.
But then that's the thing where, like, it is cultural differences.
Yeah. There's like because you cultures. Do listen to elders.
Mm-hmm. Especially like the maternal elder, you're like, you don't say no to grandma. It doesn't matter what she's saying. She could be talking to them. You're like, okay.
Yeah. I don't think she's the asshole for saying no.
I don't think she's the asshole.
But I definitely get that it probably is cultural differences and it's probably just not going to work out with this guy because I don't know if it'll ever be necessarily understood that neither of them were wrong. I think grandma should have stopped pushing at a certain point. Yeah. They should have listened. But also, like you said, grandma knows best. And so grandma's trying to help you.
She's 100 years old. She knows. She figured something out.
She'd have been around the block.
I think she should have just went to the doctor, like this next story. Am I the asshole for telling my husband that my doctor knows more than him and refusing to forgive him? So I'm just going to read it. Because it's serious.
That sounds
weird. Hello, everyone. My husband and I have been married for 4 years and together for 6. And this is the very first argument we've ever had. I, female, 24, am currently 33 weeks pregnant with his male 31 baby. When I was 20 weeks pregnant, my doctor diagnosed me with placenta previa, which, if you don't know, is basically when the placenta for my baby is covering the opening in my cervix. They told me it would likely move as my baby grew, but it never did. So I'm scheduled for a C-section in just 3 weeks. At 20 weeks, I was put on a very light restriction, but at 30, I got put on a heavier restriction, like no running, no lifting or climbing, no standing for longer than 3 hours at a time, and most importantly, no sex and no vaginal exams. Because my doctor told me that we want absolutely nothing to potentially make me bleed, which could lead to a preterm birth. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing this all for 3 weeks, but it has been driving my husband fucking insane. Every single day, he bothers me for sex. Every single day.
Oh my God, I'm already done with this story. You already know what I'm about to say.
Every single day, I tell him I can't, and I remind him of the restrictions. I don't even want to have sex anyway. My tummy is so big and I'm already exhausted. He doesn't really like those answers.
Mm. Oh my God.
Finally, he came to me and started going on about how doctors sometimes dramatize things for the sake of their careers and more money.
What?
He said they push for C-sections. I was like, okay, whatever. But I know that I have this condition. Obviously, I'm going to follow the rules.
Unreal.
He didn't take that answer and we ended up having sex.
Oh, no way.
Girl.
Whoa. Absolutely no way.
Girl. Yeah.
For a few hours after, I was having really heavy bleeding and I got so scared. I was crying in the bathroom trying to figure out what to do. I ended up calling my doctor and she told me to come in right away. The whole car ride there, I was sobbing, imagining that in an hour I would be having a C-section for an only 33-week-old baby. We quickly figured out that I am not in preterm labor. I was just bleeding, and as long as it stops, it will be okay. It did, and I'm fine. But while I was there, my doctor asked my husband to leave and started asking me questions. She asked me if I did anything that I wasn't supposed to do. She was like, this isn't accusatory. It's okay. It's just better to know if this was caused by something or random. I told her that I had sex and she just went over all the things again and then gave me a bunch of information on domestic violence. She put them in my purse for me. Literally, I was so embarrassed. When we got in the car, I broke down and yelled at my husband, telling him to never do that to me again and telling him that my doctor knows more than him and knows what is best for me and the baby. He apologized and I could tell he really meant it. I've still been holding a grudge for days and he's been groveling for days. He asked me how long I was going to make him apologize and I told him at least until the baby is born. Am I the asshole for that?
No,
this guy...
No.
Fool. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Because when I was reading that too, I mean, we go on to talk about it in the comments and the next stories, but I was like, what do you mean? Like, he kept pushing you and then you eventually had
sex.
Right.
That was a very concerning statement.
Yeah. So I hope she does go on to talk about it more, but I was like, it sounds like, I mean, I'm trying to figure out like what we can say, but it sounds like marital assault, you know?
Yeah.
She clearly, how many times does somebody have to say no before like you just decide, you know, like do you need somebody to tell you that before you leave them alone?
With every single day, backing, that'll put you and your child in danger.
I just can't imagine, dude.
And he's like, well, let's do it anyway. What?
Knowing all of the risks, and you're like, oh, you know, they're just dramatic. What?
Let me see your degree, bud.
Oh, that's...
And then saying the thing about C-sections of how it's just ways for the doctors to, like, gain experience or something and, like, money. Like, talking about...
Yeah, that was crazy.
Saying how doctors dramatize things for the sake of their careers and money.
Because your doctor gets paid by how little sex you have. That's how much. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I just don't know what goes through your head that makes you like okay for like asking that.
Mm-hmm.
Let alone continuously asking for it until like she finally gives in and is just like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if she did want to have sex, I can't because it's medically dangerous for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do it. I'm sorry. Like, are you like, kidding me?
And not even I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Leave
well, yeah,
me alone. Good,
yeah, whatever. Yeah, but stop. It asked and answered.
Mm-hmm. I could get hurt. The baby could end up getting hurt. And like, literally, you just don't care.
Just and so it's like, if the baby got hurt, are you going to blame her for it?
Then what? What if something happens to the baby?
The relationship's over.
Yeah, that's...
You can't recover from
that. I don't know.
I hate this so
top
much.
Comment here. OBGYN here. What a fucking idiot your husband is.
Yep.
Yeah.
C-section for placenta previa is an absolute necessity. 750 milliliters of blood per minute goes to the uterus at term. 90% of that to the placenta. Literally all of your blood can be outside of your body in a matter of minutes if you don't deliver surgically. The we all want to do C-sections all the time for no reason bullshit has got to go because it gives lay people the impression that they should disagree using their 0 hours of scientific training with absolute medical necessity. All of this is awful and I'm sorry you're going through this. And then somebody else says something else and it's like a quote and it says, my doctor knows more than him and knows what is best for me and the baby. And then they say, this is why she put those pamphlets in your purse. She knows what is best for you. She's seen this before and she's concerned for you. If he can't handle a few weeks without sex, what is he going to do post-op? You won't be able to have sex for a couple of months. Doctors have and nurses have learned that the Venn diagram of men who won't wait 6 weeks to have sex postpartum or because of pelvic rest and men who are abusive is a fucking circle.
Yikes.
It's probably true.
Wait, can you say that again? I didn't hear the first one.
They were basically saying the Venn diagram of men who won't wait 6 weeks to have sex or because of pelvic rest and the men who are abusive is a circle. So they're the same person.
It's the same.
Basically saying your husband is abusive.
That is just so weird to me.
Yeah.
That's just weird.
You're weird, buddy.
Like, I'm already, as the husband, the person who got this person pregnant, I'm already worried about her having a baby because it's already dangerous just to have a baby, period. Like,
right.
Just the standard pregnancy is already dangerous. And now I'm like, I'm doing things to actively make it more
dangerous.
Right. Like, how would you do that to someone you love, apparently? That's weird to me.
Yeah. So, update. I wasn't originally going to make an update just because, like, I wasn't getting into specific detail about my life, and I don't want anyone I know in my real life to find out. But I will because I don't know why, actually. I guess I just got some really good comments, and I posted this about 7 hours ago, and I can't believe how many people have responded, and I don't know if I could ever say thank you enough to such thoughtful strangers on the internet. Mm-hmm. So originally, my plan was to tell my doctor and my sister-in-law, maybe my brother, but I wasn't looking forward to discussing those details with him. I rescheduled my weekly appointment with my doctor for tomorrow. I know some people said I would be able to just walk in, but I don't want to do it and then have to make some excuse to my husband. The comments made me realize the severity of the situation, and honestly, I'm terrified. So I called my sister-in-law when she got off work, and we had a really long conversation. I mentioned in the comments, but my sister-in-law and brother have never really liked my husband, especially my sister-in-law. She was very supportive and kind, and we talked for a long time. I guess I can admit now that it wasn't just sex, it was rape. We talked about that more than anything else, and she cleared the whole confusion thing up very quickly. I told her a lot of things, my mom excused because she likes my husband, and my sister-in-law was livid. I guess I kind of knew she always would be, which is why I never told her. Mm. She ended up telling me to talk to my doctor and she'll talk to my brother and we'll see what's going on. She said she'll come down on the soonest flight, but my brother cannot come yet because they do have children of their own. I was content with this though, and my appointment was with my doctor tomorrow. So my husband got home kind of early and saw how upset I was. I really was planning on getting myself together before he came home, but I did not have time still. I was not going to tell him anything,
but he was being so kind, which he really usually is. I know that's hard to believe, but it's true. But today especially, he was so kind and so worried about me. I know it was stupid to explain the situation, but I did. I don't know why. I'm just used to telling him my problems, I guess. It was a mistake, and I know that. I'm really trying not to be so stupid anymore, but it's hard to switch from thinking about him as my loving, caring husband to my husband who hurt me. So I told him that and how he hurt me, and honestly, I'm scared now. He was like, "What? How?" And I said, by forcing me to have sex, by literally forcing my legs apart and telling me to calm down. He was like, "Oh my fucking God, don't say that. That's a crime. Do you understand that? Do you understand you just accused me of marital rape?" I started to apologize and he started to say it was okay and do that thing where he acts like I'm dumb again. So I finally was like, "Yeah, actually, I really do understand that now. It isn't right and it is marital rape." It resulted in a huge argument. Once again, he called me an idiot for even daring to say those things. I called him an abuser and he literally laughed. He was like, "Who are you talking to? You don't know what you're talking about." And started to go on and on about things I don't know about. He said sex with his wife is never rape, no matter how you split it. I ended up trying to just walk away, but he grabbed me by my wrist. I snatched my hand away and he held up his hands and was like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That might be considered battery of a pregnant woman if we're going by your definitions." The condescending tone is what really drove me to the edge. I told him I don't want to be around him and he was like, "Fine, I'll go." I said, "No, I want to go. I want to be away from you." And he threw the credit card at me and told me to go get a hotel then. So I did. I'm here now typing this and my sister-in-law is on her way right now, but I'm so far from okay. He called me several times, but I won't answer. I've never seen him that angry before, and I'm slightly concerned what he will do if I genuinely tell him I want to leave and take the baby. He's the one who wanted to have a child, and I was convinced. He won't let me take her easily, and that terrifies me. Every time my daughter kicks, I just want to sob. I never thought that my own baby would make me cry like this, but I'm just so scared.
That is, honestly just gets worse.
Yeah. So, something we didn't necessarily talk about, I guess, that much in the last one, but I'm trying to think of what he like did something at the end where he was like, he apologized for it because she was like upset when the doctor gave her the domestic violence stuff. He apologized for it. He was crying about it. And then at a certain point, he was like, "How many times are you going to make me have to apologize?" Like, it kind of seemed like it was like a switch up pretty quickly where it was like, "I said once, sorry once.
I already said sorry."
Like, yeah.
Yeah. And then now we just have this whole situation where she kind of describes more, clearly defining what it was and clearly even more where we're like, "Oh, yeah, that's definitely what that was."
Yeah.
And he just throws it kind of back in her face. He's like, "I didn't do that to you."
Yeah.
I would any type of sex with my wife is never that.
That Venn diagram.
He sounds like he is an abuser.
Grabbing her and then condescending. Be like, "Oh, sorry, you would think this is abuse." That sounds like it's abuse.
That's literally what it is, actually.
And then making her feel stupid for thinking that and be like, "Oh." And then throwing the card at her.
No, he's literally gaslighting her like, "Oh, this is an abuse. You're my wife."
Yeah.
Yikes.
It's getting ugly.
That's really bad.
I don't even have words.
That's the attitude some people have. That's why like marital rape can be so serious, because like some people like, you cannot rape someone in a marriage because they think they're entitled to it whenever they want to. That the consent still doesn't hold any validity in a marriage. And you're like, "Nope, it still does."
No, it actually very much does.
And he sounds like one of those people.
I feel like this is like kind of off topic a little bit, but this is something I was watching a video talking about how like sometimes like purity culture and like, I don't know if it was religion, but it was mainly like purity culture kind of sometimes, like what you're saying, we're taught religiously that once we're married, Brandon is mine and I'm Brandon's. There's something I really cannot think right now, but basically it's it's like condoning that it's okay to be like, "Hey, this is my body. I married you. We're together. We're one now."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I could kind of see that. Well, just in terms that religion typically doesn't go too deep into a sexual relationship. Like that's where they stop. It's like, "Your body's my body and we're we're one and we share each other, but they don't go into details on what that is. Mm-hmm. So if you just get that, people can run wild with what that means in their heads, and they could say like, yeah, your body's my body and I can have it whenever I want.
Yeah, I don't know. So top comment here, he knew what he did was considered marital rape. That's why he jumped to that specific wording. That's the reason he was being so sweet and then he came home. It's called love bombing. Mm-hmm. He is abusive and he knows it. That's why he's trying to make you feel dumb. Yeah. Do not go back.
Yeah.
All right, so final update. This one is quick and for the people who wanted to verify that I'm okay. I genuinely don't know what to say about the amount of support I got. Thank you very much. August 7th, I posted my update and I mentioned having Braxton Hicks for the first time. I was urged to go to the hospital. I originally wasn't going to go, but thank goodness that I did, because by the time I walked in the door, I was bleeding so heavily that it was down my legs.
Oh, jeez.
Turns out I had a placenta abruption August 7th at 10:37 p.m. My daughter was born via emergency C-section, but I'm being forced to deal with an attorney on all of this already. Mm. She was only 33 weeks and 5 days when she was born. She's tiny, but she's doing relatively well, so they tell me. She's in the NICU now, and I'm in the hospital still as well. I've received lots of care. While it is scary and hard, I'm seeing my daughter makes it better. I'm fine, and I will be fine, and so will she. The nurses here are amazing, and my doctor told me as long as everything goes well, I get to take my daughter home in just a few weeks. As for my situation, my sister-in-law came shortly after my daughter was born and has been by my side all day and very supportive. My attorney advised us to allow my husband visitation with my daughter while she is still in the NICU, so I did. I did not have concern of him hurting our daughter while in the hospital or anything like that. I have received lots of support messages from his coworkers and his side of the family, so I'm sure he is spinning the story that we are together and everything is fine. He's trying to act like that too. He's seen our daughter several times today. I think he was in the hospital with me during the C-section, but I'm honestly not sure. He came up to my room this morning while the nurses were helping me take the first walk after the C-section. I was just emotional enough to let him in. I have to be honest and say it wasn't easy to try and hate him after all of this. I still let him comfort me and I still cried to him. But at the end, when he would say, "You wouldn't have to do this alone if you weren't acting this way," and grab my face to make me kiss him, it reminded me of why exactly I am doing this. So yeah, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. Originally, I really wanted to have my daughter in my home state so that I could stay there with her and my sister-in-law and brother, but I highly doubt my husband will allow me to take her there. My attorneys say I have options, and the options are heavily in my favor, as I did what you all suggested and got the medical records of the rape. Of the rapes, including the one I posted about, and two more I went to the hospital for over the years, as well as writing my doctor saying that my placental abruption was likely caused by trauma and stress for custody and stuff like that, but likely only here where we currently live. Honestly, that's okay. Being able to briefly hold my baby and seeing her and loving her so much has replaced much else in my mind. I want to be safe, but I want her safe most of all. I won't do anything to put her in that situation I was in. She's only 16 hours old, and she is all I think about and will ever think about for the rest of my life. I probably won't update again, as I'm hoping they will let me spend more time with my daughter soon, but I just wanted to say that this whole post literally changed my life, and I cannot say thank you enough. If anyone else finds themselves in this sort of situation, I want to say do not be scared to speak up, and if anyone has survived it, you're so brave. Thank you. So she did end up having the baby.
Oh, man. Well, I'm glad the baby's okay.
Baby's safe.
Yeah. And she's taking next steps for the attorney. It sounds like, you know, there's a good chance that it's going to rule in her favor, which is good.
Yeah.
She has support from her sister-in-law and her brother. And, you know, even it's tough because it's like, you love that person, but they keep hurting you. So it's kind of like good to get that comfort from them. I'm happy she kind of was like, I also remember why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And she has that strength to keep going. And yeah.
Him saying, him with her in the hospital room and him like forcing her to kiss him and being like, you wouldn't have to be doing this by yourself if you weren't acting like this.
It's gross.
That shit is weird.
That's infuriating to hear.
Mm-hmm.
It's eerie.
But I'm glad like it's being written about in the story, because that's why a lot of people stay in abusive relationships. It's because those cyclical things, they get into your head, they manipulate you and saying like, you're the reason why it's bad. So like, if you just act better, it'll be good. And people get caught in these cycles and they blame themselves in it. Like, I'm glad she heard that. And she's like, no, it doesn't matter. I need to get out of this.
Yeah. So top comment. And they quote, it wasn't easy to try and hate him after all of this. I still let him come for me and I still cried to him. And they say, remember that you're literally only in this position getting an emergency C-section and watching your child fight for survival in the NICU because he raped you. Despite knowing there was a high chance that it could hurt you and your unborn child because he wanted to get his dick wet is the only thing he cared about. He doesn't give a shit about you or your child. You are possessions to him, for him to do what he pleases. Do not let this man anywhere near you.
Am I the asshole for skipping out on what my husband planned for my birthday? Planned is in quotes. Planned.
No, because if it's not what you wanted to do for your birthday, hell, I want to do what I want to do for my birthday.
Am I the asshole for skipping out on what my husband planned for my birthday? Hello, I love your podcast so much. I listen to you guys while I'm at work all the time, but I've been on maternity leave and haven't found the time to catch up. Anyway, just thought I'd submit something on here because I really have no one else to vent to. So anyways, my birthday is coming up in a couple of days, and weeks prior I asked my husband if he was going to plan for me or if he would like me to plan for myself. Initially he said he would plan for me and ask for my input, and we could just mesh our plans together, which was fine with me. However, we recently just had our baby girl at the end of June, and I have not had the time for anything, so I did the bare minimum of research for what I would like. Now, with days leading up to my birthday, I asked again what he had planned. He now answers with, oh, we'll go to the restaurant you showed me in Dollar Store for errands we have to run for the following weekend. Of course, I'm stoked for the restaurant I wanted to go to, but I was disappointed that he didn't plan like he said he would. Don't get me wrong. No one is ever obligated to do something for someone else's birthday, but I asked him weeks prior if he was going to plan activities for us. We haven't been out in a while because there's not much help we can really rely on. So I got upset and just asked him, why would he say he planned if he wasn't going to plan? I mean, if I gave him the option of me planning for myself, I really just wanted something nice for myself because I haven't had any breaks with the new baby, and postpartum depression hasn't been really kicking me in the
Wow.
Did she say that or did you say that?
There's no way I'm saying Oh my God, that's crazy. Not sure if it's my postpartum hormones or if I should be upset about this and opt out on his plans, which are my plans. All in all, I asked why he would say something he wouldn't do, and that instead of half-assed plans he made, I was going to just make plans with my mom and my sisters. I'm just so tired of not being a priority of his. Not trying to drag the skeletons out of the closet, but my labor is rough, and he took his sweet time to get to the hospital. Night feedings are solely me because he can't hear when our baby cries. I also told him about my PPD, but there wasn't much said or support from his end. Throughout the day, he's playing games 80% of the time and doesn't help much. People think he's a good man, and even told me to go easy on him as his first time being a dad. But I always think, too, is it my first time being a mom, too? I don't know. Please tell me if I'm being too hard on this man.
No, I don't think so.
No! How are you being too hard on him? You're figuring it out. He can't figure it out. He doesn't have two brain cells to rub together.
Yeah, I find this is very common with like new dads where they're like, I can't like help that much.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. And you're like, I'm also figuring out. Read a book. Watch a YouTube video. Read a book. TikTok is teaching people everything these
days. I'm stuck. I can't get off of Mom Talk.
Yeah.
You can be on there if you want to be.
Mom Talk slips into my FYP, man.
I know all about the babies Mom's and toddlers. Moms be out here,
yeah.
Well, I think the other thing, too, is the fact of, like, she was, like, looking forward to whatever he was planning for her birthday.
Yeah.
And she, like, asked him about it, and he was like, I got something there. And then time went on. You could tell he forgot. He's like, we're just going to go to a restaurant, which isn't bad, but she wants something more.
Yeah. And the dollar store.
For errands. We have to run errands afterwards.
So not even like a fun trip to the dollar store. He's like, you can have five things from here.
As long as it adds up to $5.
Especially when she was like, hey, like, if you're not going to plan any.
truth is I'm trying.
Stop it.
Okay.
Don't touch me.
Okay. Get you a better man.
Yeah, I feel like it does suck, OP, that like it seems like your husband is like very like low effort.
Yeah.
And how that makes you feel like you're like, I'm sure you're a good partner. And so the fact that you're like, I'd like to have that reciprocated, mm-hmm. you know, I feel like that probably gets easily exhausted as time goes on. And that sucks to hear. And I'm sorry about that. Because I think those are all valid reasons to be upset and frustrated. Like, you know, even down to like, what did she said he was late to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Like stuff like that. It's yeah. just.
He's playing video games 80% of the time.
And people think he's a good man. And
yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably nice. And he probably says, hey, yeah.
Yeah. When's dinner ready?
Oh, like, he's such a good guy, Tom.
Great guy. Great guy.
Yeah,
dad.
So I was taking the trash out for my wife. Tom, man, yeah, you yeah. take the trash
Stellar.
Out?
Stellar.
I wish my husband would take the trash out. And Bill's like.
Shut up, Tom.
He's just in the car.
You're ruining it.
Thank you, everyone, for coming to this episode of the Comfort Level Podcast. Sorry we're so low energy. I think we're just a little
sleepy.
Churched out.
But you know what'll get us up? A couple of likes and subscriptions to our lovely channel. Like and subscribe. That Please.
Very
That's what
good.
Maddie needs to get her spirits up.
That was really good, Sam. I like that yeah. one.
Great yeah. job, Sam.
We purposely were low energy just for that.
Yep.
Because we care about the audience.
We care.
Even though they'd be doing something to benefit us. And
yeah, it really just helps us.
My brain feels agitated.
We do care about you guys. And
helps
thanks for also we reached 9,000 Redditors on
yeah.
the Reddit page. That's awesome. The last time I saw we were like 5,000. So we grew really fast.
Keep giving those stories. Keep using punctuation. And stop being so crazy. Okay.
And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye,
bye guys.
No, here's SJ while we're driving up here. Would you think those are mountains or hills? We're debating what are hills and what makes a mountain a mountain.
I think that's a valid question.
When we're in Arkansas, we're like, these things are, they're bordering on mountains because they're getting high.
They're getting high.
But some of them are like hilly.
Wait, what's the difference between like a hill and a bluff?
Okay, I didn't say it to SJ, but bluff went in my head because I feel like this bluffs or this,
yeah.
but I don't know what a bluff is.
I don't really know. I was going to say, I don't know what a bluff is.
That's why
is.
I didn't say anything, but I bluff went in my head, but I don't know what a bluff is. Because
I feel like bluff is just boneless mountain.
What is, okay,
what's I've been
a
to
boneless
Mall of the
mountain?
Bluffs, but there was no bluffs when I went to Mall
Well,
of the
it's
bluffs.
Like the background. The bluffs are in the background. Yeah, it's not, you're not in the bluffs.
I thought the mall was of the bluffs.
No, it's like the bluffs are your backdrop.
Well,
you see the bluffs.
Put mall in the back, bluffs in the background mall.
No, it's like you see the mall, you see the bluff from the mall. You can see the bluffs from the mall, but it's not in the bluffs.
I feel like it's of the bluffs. Like
I thought it was mall of the bluffs.
It's mall of the bluffs, so it's like the bluffs are here. Like, like everything is a bluff here.
Wait, it's like the home of.
Home of what?
Fill in the blank.
The Brave and the Home.
Home of the Bluffs.
Of the Brave.
And the Braves here. We're of the Brave.
We're of the Brave, but then you get that story.
And
that
it's
we
in
got.
The background?
No, we get that story like that one guy that literally had the flight reaction and left all, left his niece and his wife.
Yeah.
He's not brave. He ran. But he's in the home of the Brave.
Because it's in
but
the
he's
background?
Not brave.
You caught that?
I caught it. Of course I caught it.
What's happening?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. You remember that meme
just
video?
Hanging
that
around.
Guy just hanging around. Nothing. Just hanging around. A bluff is a broad, rounded cliff, but a hill is just a piece of land that rises higher than everything surrounding it.
So a mountain is a hill. It's just a bigger hill.
What's the difference between a mountain and a hill?
Yeah. Elevation?
No official difference between hills and mountains.
That's not good for us.
Hills and mountains.
What? That's horrifying.
So they're actually. Just so one and the same.
Basically is a hill. It's just a really tall hill.
That's horrifying. I don't know why that scared me.
You don't like that?
I don't like that.
You need there to be a difference.
Yeah, I need that. Because then what's the point of there being the weird mountain versus hill? Why don't we just call it a big hill?
Well, just so you like, hey, I climbed this hill the other day. If you said I just climbed Hill Everest, and they're like, okay, it's a hill. It's the tallest hill in the world. They're like, it's a hill, though. I climbed a hill the other day in my backyard. And you're talking about Hill Everest? Why does it have a name? Who cares about a hill?
That's what it is. That's scary.
You're scared. Oh, my God.
Kilimanjaro. Let's read the story.
Kilimanjaro is good. That's actually really
Sam,
good.
Sam, shut the hell up right
we
now.
Shut up.
She's got to read the story.
He said Kilimanjaro. Come on. If we can't have fun, then what are we doing here? Well, let's hear the story.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.